This is a production of Cornell University.
Violence, it's been a lot of time. October 24th, we did And I think the managerial training, we have flight cards available for islands, there are a lot of different things that we can offer support very privately on the way, all the way up very publicly. I just ask that you take a moment to think about this issue in some way, shape, or form, you know, if possible. And if you have any creative ideas on how you want to do that, to let us know. I offer a list of ways that you can get engaged. Many of them I've already talked about. We have brought training into the department with issue. And stemming from that, we got an invitation to present to the third shift building care crew at 10 p.m. We came on site, brought our facilitators, had a really important discussion around domestic violence and resources that were available. So in your role, and as you see those opportunities, please think of our department and the chance to kind of bring this information to them. Okay. I know that was a very quick overview. Obviously, I'm not giving you a lot of information about what constitutes domestic violence or so there's whole training programs around all of that. And last year, actually, the Advocacy Center, for those of you that were here last year, the Advocacy Center came and did a presentation for the EA, just kind of giving a 101 on what domestic violence in the workplace really looks like and some signs to watch for and those types of things. So as it relates to October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, do you have any questions for me or opportunities that you see that you would suggest we look into? Threw a lot of information at you very quickly.
I have a quick question from
So the Advocacy Center is reporting an uptick in cases reported our campaign 2 years ago. So there's a lot that's happened in our society over those past 2 years, from the Me Too campaign and some of the others. Very difficult to say necessarily what has been the result of some of the employer work that we're doing, but they are reporting seeing a higher number of cases that have a Cornell affiliation of some kind. Now, up until about 2 years ago, the university was not really tracking incidents that come up. So what would happen was that an employee may share with their HR person or their manager something that's going on in their personal life, and the HR person might offer some support and confidential resources and encourage them to go to FSAT. But there was no central database tracking that necessarily. And starting about 2 years ago, we really put forth an effort to educate both the HR community and managers and others, really, that we kind of want to know when these situations bubble up so that we can make sure that we're offering everyone the whole plethora of resources. Just because one person is only talking about, say, their physical safety, they may also have some family caregiving issues going on that our office can provide some support resources for. So the report and incident form on the HR website at the very bottom, also on the Cornell website. Some people refer to it as the bias reporting form. I've seen it as report a discrimination harassment case. It's used for a lot of different reasons at Cornell. You can complete that and let us know that you're aware of the case, and we can offer support. Now, a lot of times people are very concerned, rightly so, about confidentiality, right? Somebody has shared with you that an incident has happened. They're looking for some support, but they ask for you to not share that with anyone. I would just ask that you please reach out to our office, WorkLife, so that we can make sure that you have all the resources that are available that you can distribute. Our intent is not to overstep folks' privacy in any way. It's really just to make sure that we're getting the help that they might need. It could be just having a flexible work arrangement. It could be the emergency care fund. We've had 5 employees over the past year receive grants from the Emergency Care Fund related to a domestic violence incident. Out of, I think we have issued 32 awards within that fiscal year. So that was not happening before we started this campaign. And folks are really starting to access those resources more and more, which is why one of the ways we encourage people to support Domestic Violence Awareness Month is to consider donating to the Emergency Care Fund. The resources are needed to keep that fund going. We have the data on the database of the cases that have been entered. Some of them are just self-entries from me and my team. It has to become aware of things. We've had 17 cases over the past 2 years. And I would say this past year is when a majority of those cases occurred. A lot of that goes back to just educating on the use of the tool, the platform. That I don't want that to send the impression that, oh, we've had this huge uptick. That's not what that means. It means, though, that we are tracking and we are able to get people support oftentimes earlier than maybe what we would have been able to a couple of years prior. What other things are coming up for you? Yeah, we're going to be pushing that out over the next couple business days. But as a follow-up to this talk, I was hoping to send Adam an email with a variety of things that you can forward on to your organization. Not just that there's these manager trainings to be a highlight, as well as some of the other ways to get involved in the campaign. But we would definitely appreciate you taking any of the materials as well and helping you. Yes.
Are you meeting with the welfare committee about this?
Actually, what I was mentioning in terms of the welfare committee was the employee well-being at Cornell booklet.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess this is for Adam. Are we thinking about
not that I know of, but as long as we have the resources and all of yours, I'm open to it. And you know.
Having a
student
awareness
table? Or co-sponsoring or helping out in some way.
And maybe what I can share is where the hotspot locations have been. Like we've had tables and maybe some places that I think could benefit from having some added attention. Lara Thompson, she hosted a table right outside of the professional clothing giveaway because they were happening at the same time. So we would love your involvement in that way as well. And creative thinking around it. So the table that we had at the library, librarian pulled out a lot of books about domestic violence at the workplace and really kind of made it about their workplace culture. And that was
I will say that this year, our members and everybody from very good about the volunteering time on a variety of things. And I think these are good opportunities for leadership and showing that that we can be a part of getting the word out on these important things. So we're as long as you know everybody's going to have some point of good, we can definitely get the word out.
Okay, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Other questions?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Don't hesitate to drop me a line if other ideas or opportunities come up that you think we should happen. The next slide. Oh, I included some photos. So this is what one of our awareness tables looked like, and the team that was there talking to individuals about their experiences. A lot of pledge cards were filled out that day. And empowering yet sobering with how many pledge cards said something along the lines of, I pledge to stand against domestic violence because I'm a survivor. There's a lot of those cards. So, you know, we make assumptions about what other people are navigating in their lives sometimes. And, you know, it's a reminder. We just don't know what folks are going through at that point in time or previously and how that's informed their experience and how they interact with people. The next slide, actually, I thought this was a really powerful one. She put this on the back of her shirt. Quote that day, I am a domestic violence survivor and I am valued. I thought that was very powerful. Part of this work is acknowledging the stigmas that come with domestic violence, especially being an Ivy League institution. I've interacted with faculty who have privately shared what their experiences were and the fact that they would be mortified if any of their colleagues knew what they had experienced. how stupid could I be? I'm a faculty member at an Ivy League institution, and I'm finding myself in an asylum. So there's heaps of judgments that people are putting on themselves with this. And sometimes we put judgments out there as well. And I thought that this sign was kind of individual was reclaiming and demonstrating her power out of that experience. And I just wanted to share that. All right, next slide.
Yes.
Okay. So you've all seen the email information about mental health conversations and workshops that are coming up. One is tomorrow on navigating grief and loss at work. That will be at Duffield. We have one scheduled for October 8th at CBM and one October 16th on the Ag Club at Caldwell Hall. All of these sessions are going to be facilitated by Family and Children. I know that in this forum we've discussed a recent loss that we had at Cornell Health, and Dr. Beal, I will say that there are other losses that have occurred across campus over the past year or two that have had a profound impact on people in other departments as well. What we're really trying to do is kind of shine a light on kind of the ripple effect that happens in the workplace and provide a forum for people to be able to talk about that. I really don't know what to expect in terms of attendees. We did require sign-up for the grief and loss session, but if this is a topic you care about and would like to attend, I invite you to join us. There are also other workshops that are coming up. I can share that of those workshops, I have control over 5 of the registration forms, and we're over 300 registrations already totaled up. So that was with very minimal promotion. Thank you to those that may have forwarded and shared it with colleagues. We added Zoom options for a lot of them to increase the accessibility of the session. There's more work to be done in this space. Workshops and education are important, but they are only one small piece of the overall picture of employee mental health and well-being. And I would never want to give the impression that this is an easy band-aid to put on when people are hurting. So I think that's important to acknowledge. Access to mental health services is very important, as is things such as how we treat each other in the workplace. Wanted to share we are working on a supervisor module regarding employee well-being that will be integrated in the new supervisor orientation program, the online course form. That is scheduled for launch, unfortunately not until May, but there is an entire section in that on mental well-being as well. So we're looking for opportunities to get folks at different parts of timing in their university experience, and for supervisors, we want to make sure that they're getting that message loud and clear that the university prioritizes employee well-being, and we give them very concrete examples of what they can do in their work to support it.
Yeah, Christine, I just want to offer an idea. So I signed up for the Zoom session for employee well-being 101, and then the fostering the culture, which is the supervisor. And the person with that, your Zoom session in the college, and invited everyone to join if they wanted to do some crazy things. So that was in the public.
If you see topics or you hear of issues that you would really like to see programming on, or even repeat sessions of this, the Managing Compassion Fatigue and Burnout session is already at 60 registration. So I imagine that there will be other places that we should be bringing the content to. For some people, online learning is great, and for others not. We're trying to offer a mix of those programs. So you can facilitate conversations among your colleagues by watching together. That would be great, too.
A question I have is, in our college, we luckily don't have to navigate through the law, but we have had tragedy that could have resulted in such. And you've been discussing how there's a lot of discussion around building response to students, but there's very little training with staff, noticing and responding crisis and staff. Is that a conversation happening with the program and
the department? So, Catherine Trasher-Carroll is the individual at Cornell Health with health education that has helped design and offer so many of these notice and response sessions. And she was one of the first people I called when I started putting together this curriculum, and one of the things we talked about was the applicability for employees, especially employees who maybe don't have a lot of interaction.
They have a lot of interaction with fellow employees. And we talked about aspects of the program that would be inclusive, and then there's aspects of the program that are very student-centric. And for those of you that have participated in Notice and Respond, it centers around a video, a situation, a video that you watch together, and that involves students. So one of the things we've talked about is the need to create a standalone program focusing on employees using an actual scenario that's very employee-centric. So yes, those conversations are absolutely happening. I don't have a date, but that is something that we realize is missing really from the curriculum a lot. Anything bubbling up that you would like to share, or ways that we can add programming that would be useful to those in your organization? I did bring a two-pager that has a write-up of all of these upcoming workshops, including program descriptions. It's not a fancy flyer, but it gets you the content. So please take as much as you would like today. And thank you for helping to spread the word and care so much.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, we will move on to committee reports. Before we do, I want to mention one thing, and that's that I've been lucky and that I've been able to drop in via Zoom. You may have seen a disembodied image on the link. And just sit in on, I think, every committee thus far, at least one meeting this year. And I want to say that I'm encouraged, inspired, delighted by how active and energetic and how great the committee work that I see is going. I want to thank you all. Thank you guys. I want to thank the chairs and everybody that is doing so much and engaging in these great discussions. I'm really, really excited about this year because I see you all working really hard and putting in a lot of good ideas and having good discussion. So just a little thing I wanted to preface thus far. So we'll start with the communications and awards. Carrie, can you hear us?
Hey, yeah, I can hear you. You want to see me?
Oh, please.
Okay.
If you want me to, I can. But I'm leaving a lot of materials with you, and I don't want to make my pile your pile unless you really want all of those pieces.
I think that we can, if it's okay, we can distribute these.
Okay.
We can parse them out and distribute them.
Yeah, that's fine. That's very handy. Over. Okay.
Thank you so much. Carrie?
You guys ready?
Yeah, say what? I'll come back to
Carrie, can you hear us? And are you able to speak up?
I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I think I'll actually try to chew on this.
Everybody be very, very quiet. All on Carrie, we're going to try to.
We're having some audio problems.
Minor technical difficulties.
Maybe that'll be
better. Okay. Let's go to elections. Jessica? I will mention that we have open seats in our remarks next week. So, questions?
Thank you.
Can you still hear me?
There we go. Yes. Go ahead,
Sherry. Okay. Woo! And now I'm huge again. Oh my gosh. I thought we resolved that. Okay, so let's see. I want to say thank you to everybody that volunteered yesterday for Red Day. And thank you to Alan for coordinating that. Near term, we're in the last stages of planning for the president's address, which is next Tuesday. And for our satellite event in Geneva, I think I heard Jessica mention that. So hopefully that will go well. So on the president's address, we have an all-staff email going out this week. It's with the president's office right now for approval. Volunteers, Ellen, I'll just say to my committee members, I'll be sending out notes to you guys with more details. So don't freak out if I mention you right here. But Ellen and I are going to go through, and you can expect, if you volunteered for one of the roles next Thursday, you can expect to get an email with more details on that. Andrea, if you are still interested and available in the next few days, I would love to talk about accessibility and just make sure we've got everything straightened out to the best we can. So drop me a line if you're available. And then just general run of show, some award related stuff. But things are percolating as planned. So that's good. Any questions on President's address? I think. Okay. Moving on. The priorities poll closes today. The Geneva folks sent it out a little late to their staff, and so they asked for an extra day, and I agreed. But it will be closed as of the end of the day today. And then we'll be working on analyzing that data and preparing a summary report. And I know Hey is ready to jump into that. So I imagine it'll be at least a couple weeks before we see the fruits of all that. I'll just mention another volunteer event we have coming up on, Ellen, it's October 26th, right?
Correct.
Yes, the employee celebration. Now, that's a Saturday. I don't know, Ellen, have you checked? Are we good on volunteers yet for that, or we're still?
No, we could use a few more.
Okay, cool. So, guys, think about it. If you're available that Saturday, it sounds like a fun event. The committee is, now that we have a bit of leeway funding-wise, the committee is going to be looking at some promotional items that we might be able to get for moving forward for events like tabling events like that. We used to do the Post-it cubes, which we're out of. We'll figure something out. So if you have any good ideas, pass them along to Ellen or I, and we'll go for it. That's really, I would say that's my update for this time. Any questions?
Questions for Carrie? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to executive committee.
Hi, everyone. So as Carrie mentioned, priorities poll is going to close soon. I would like to aggregate all of the data and provide a report to share to everybody here, and then also to Mary Offerman, trying to highlight some of the major issues and maybe some items that aren't necessarily as measurable as just, you know, people have selected parking and transportation as the number one issue, and that's all we're going to highlight. There were sections where individuals could indicate, you know, written out what were their major concerns. So I'm going to try to work with Linda Crow Howell from HR data to figure out, you know, the best way to represent this information. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like. I think the last time I checked, we had about 520 responses. So I'm hoping to see a little bit more this week. So we'll see how that goes. And
actually, we're up over 600 now.
Oh, that's great. Did I check last week?
Yeah, we got a big push. I think I want to say Jessica must have done something because a lot of library people and a lot of Geneva people responded. I shouldn't say a lot, but, you know, we got a big boost from a couple of email promotions. So.
Great.
That's wonderful. I'm looking forward to dive into the data and see what everybody's responses are in terms of everybody And we've been working pretty hard on the president's address to staff, working with the president's office and with Mary Oberman, just going over the lay of the land and the things that, you know, we're working on. So very excited about it. I'm really happy to see all the volunteers and from everybody and the engagement. So I'm just really looking forward to seeing you all there. Oh.
Any questions?
We'll go ahead and move on.
Anyway, I just want to make sure, is Ann not here today? I don't see her. I just want to make sure I'm not missing. Okay. Does anybody want to give a brief report on policy and benefits?
We haven't had a meeting since the last TA meeting, but we are meeting, I believe it's next Tuesday. And we, because of the interest that we received at the last meeting regarding the vacation policy, that's going to be the topic that we're going to discuss. So if anyone's interested in joining us, we would love to have you. Not, of course, on my calendar, but I believe it's on Tuesday, but I can't confirm that with you if you want to put it out in your email blast.
It's Tuesday at 10.
Sounds good.
Tuesday at 10?
Yep.
Thank you.
Ashley?
After the last time we met around that conversation, I actually reached out to Lauren and Jacoby, and I'm waiting for a calendar invite to meet with her and Alan Bishop, see if I can get any more information on why the brakes were pumped so hard after all the work that was done. So I'm waiting for that calendar invite. So when was your committee meeting?
Committee meeting is on Tuesday.
Okay, got it. If I have a meeting before that, I'd love to join and just share whatever it is they're willing to share. but I was talking after the last meeting. I just had nothing to contribute for the last meeting, so that's why I didn't say anything. But afterwards, I was like, I know Lauren, I'll reach out to her. So I'm just waiting for a calendar invite to come through. Okay, to have that discussion today. Yep.
Any other questions?
All right, let's move on to Employee Welfare Committee. Christy.
We're meeting tomorrow to further our conversation from last week around opportunities for awareness. We're reaching out to the Marin regarding the employee survey. And next, 2 weeks from tomorrow, our meeting will post transportation, give us an update on where they are with the priorities and initiatives.
Any questions? Let's move on to employee education. Marcy?
Yeah. I am meeting tomorrow with Annalisa from the class program to discuss with what challenges she's having with the class program. And then on next Friday, Craig set up a lunch to discuss the employee degree program, how to use that. and we're going to discuss, to learn more about the program and how to support them. We don't meet again. I think the next meeting we have is towards the end of the month, just for scheduling issues.
Marcy, any questions for education at all? Okay. Well, with that, we'll move into open discussion. As always, we have this opportunity to all be together, and we can discuss any topics or any issues that you may be having. If nobody has any pressing things, I have a few things that I wanted to maybe talk about, but I'll open the floor to anybody first. Yes, Jeff.
I don't have my placard. Sorry, I don't know where it is. So Laura and I serve on the Campus Judicial Committee. I think that's what it stands for.
Codes and Judicial Committee.
And it's awesome, and thank you for letting me on it. I really like it.
Awesome.
It is an awesome committee.
Mm-hmm.
But being so new to the university, I want to put out there to employees that if you have some time to look over the Campus Judicial Code, it is 48 pages. So it's not light reading, but we're currently in talks from a directive from the president to to pull it out and have a student code separate from the code, the whole campus code. And we've been asked to make sure that we know what the employees want, if they feel like their rights would be less if that happens. There's really not a campus in the country that doesn't have a student code of conduct separate, but we do. We don't have a student code. We just have one. And the students really want their own code. The JA's office wants their own code. But we're trying to figure all that out. So if you have time to review the code and share with me or Laura any information that you think would be helpful for us in that discussion to represent employees best, that would be great.
I will say that the council's office has put together a draft of the student code. And so we're looking at the draft of the student code and trying not to totally disassociate it from the full campus code. So the current thinking of the CJC is to have the student code be part of a larger umbrella code for the whole institution so that we don't lose the protections for faculty and staff. But it's moving along quickly.
It meets
so
a lot.
We're meeting
a lot of meetings.
I think we've been asked to have something in time for the Board of Trustees meeting in December, so we're moving really fast.
I have a quick question.
Oh, come
hi, Carrie.
Hi. Just out of curiosity, because I can't think of one, what do you have an example of a reason or a situation where it would make sense for students to be held to a different standard? I guess I'm just struggling to think of an example myself.
I think student conduct is developmental and educational a lot of times, and when students make a mistake, the repercussions might be a developmental or educational response. They're 18 to 22, their brains aren't fully developed. We're working with them to become full-grown functioning adults, whereas we as employees and faculty have been through that phase in our life. All of the, I think, violations were the same.
Yeah, all the violations are the same.
Yeah.
I think the language around how they're framed will be changed and be different.
Okay, so
less punitive.
Right.
I see. So a softening of the repercussions for students in some cases.
I don't know, softening, but maybe less punitive.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, we just met on Monday, actually, and I don't know, was anyone at University Assembly yesterday? How'd that go? How'd Logan do?
So I guess the first thing I would let the employee, I'm not on the CJC. I did go to the first meeting and to support my fellow co-chair because I'm the chair of the other thing. I would say personally, after listening to all of the things that have been going on, I'm not worried about this idea of a division or us as employees losing any rights. You know, from my understanding, if you were to trust me and said, hey, I hooked you up and jump off this cliff, like, probably, as far as I would say with that. What to try to take a four-year-long conversation and make it very simple, when you go to read the code and you're an incoming student, you have no idea what is bad and what happens to you because it was written by lawyers in, like, the 70s, and it's been revised and specifically had very strong integrated language. So what the president really asked for the last year, which the U.S. was to deliver on, was separate what happens when you do bad things from what it means to be a Cornell person as well as the educational responsibilities of, like, here's really what you need to know, and then this is what is going to happen to you. The biggest problem is and they talked about the metrics yesterday, there are 800 cases that are referred to the JA, which is the
Judicial Administrator.
Thank you. And they're all undergrad students. It's like 400 first-year students and then like 300 second-year students. And then there was four things that ever got put between the staff and the faculty that goes into this area. The policy is like policy 6.4, which deals with harassment, and our own employee policies, as, you know, they're all something that covers us basically. The challenge is then We're very unique because we have something called the campus code. What it means to be a person that is on this turf that is the Cornell campus and is applied to everybody. So for the long time people and even for the new people, it's like, I want to be part of this community thing. So it's very touchy about the culture, especially when someone's like, well, why do we have to do it the way that other colleges do it? However, this is something that is past due 3 years now. There, I asked President Pollack yesterday at the UA, what is your deadline? And everybody laughed. And she said, we need something that we can show at the Board of Trustees meeting in December, and we have to be done with this by May. And that means that there is a very particular set of work and a timeline that has to be done. And what they want is a student code of conduct to make it easy so that when you're an incoming student, you have a better idea. Because what will happen is a student will do something, and then they get really panicky, and they maybe get assigned somebody, but they don't have enough time about to get somebody to help them understand what's going to happen. They really want you to understand this the right way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Logan did a good job. We had a really public discussion about the use of resolutions and what that meant, because the UA is trying to do new things, and there has been some missteps in communication and who's allowed to communicate things and post things, and it is something that, you know, when you're working with a new group of people, someone says do it, and then you say yes, and then someone says undo it, and you're like, should I? So they're making good progress. The president was happy to hear how that has gone so far. And, you know, she straight talked to us for 25 minutes about the code and what she wants to see. So I would say what I could imagine happening is we have our core values that got posted, and that, like, speaks to everybody. They're still with what Richard and you guys, and you guys are so good at that, and I really appreciate that you guys are a part of that because it really helps. They even talked yesterday about, like, what if we let the student, we make a student code, should the students just manage the student code from now on from the student assembly? And I had to say, not three, well, I guess, I mean, we could have a whole other meeting about this, but it's on track, things are going well. It has been confusing because it's been confusing to really smart people, but having new faces and ideas and trying to keep it in scope. So the real goal is it has to get done by this timeline. I asked, is there a legal requirement? Like, is the university legally required to revise this? And the answer to that is no, except the whole judicial system is sort of like in a mess where you have to go left before you go right around all of these kind of issues. And so then it got brought up, should we bring the Greek life justice system into the student code because they are student code? And I asked that to President Pollack and said, you know, we're trying to do everything and get this right. And she said, don't let the perfect stop the good was sort of what her quote was. And she said, I will have no problem not addressing the Greek justice life system because that's like giving up, you know, as many fraternities and sororities and all of their processes, convincing hundreds of people to give up control and jurisdiction is not going to be easy. That's the only thing I'm ashamed to say. They're like, Cornell can't do this one thing. Like, this is like a crazy thing. But I know we can do it eventually. So it is likely there will be a student code. And then if you take that code and you change every word from student to employee, you know, that will be the next version of something that will go, and then the faculty one. So that's sort of the update from that.
I will say I really appreciate you all giving us these updates from the UA and everything. We talked about this a little bit at the retreat, but one of the things that I want to try to do at the end of the year or the end of the term, I'm not sure which, but we appoint a lot of people to different bodies, different groups that serve as EA appointees for various campus committees and things like that. I think it's to our benefit if we invite them back at least once a year to get some sort of a report on their activities or what has been going on in these different committees. So this is a good example of that. This is very informative for all of us to be engaged, especially as this process moves forward, you know, and how it might affect staff. So thank you all for those updates. Any other topics? If not, I have one.
I just want to make one comment. Does anybody know where the runners at Chilk Tahoma, these events come from?
It's the High Noon Runners Club.
The High Noon Runners Club.
Yeah. The running club has been going on for a long time.
So do they ever miss an event? I mean, they're really, you know, they're focused.
They'll run in the snow again.
Really?
Yeah, every day.
It's like they show up and it's like,
again? And they don't take time to eat the cookies. They're just taking the cookies, and then they're running with it. And he got there, he had like four cookies in his hand from the previous stop. But it was amazing. I've seen him at a couple of events now. I just think that's amazing. And somehow I'd like to know more about them. And I think others would be enjoy that too. So I just.
Anybody know a point of contact with them?
Yes,
we do. Yeah. This, I guess, brings up another good point. If any of you have information or things that you want to share, I've gotten into the habit, as you all know, this of sending out bi-weekly emails to all of our members on a variety of things. If you have things that you want everybody to know, to be updated about, you know, the judicial code, for example, send them to me and I'll be happy to put them in those little words. That way, maybe it's all collected in one bi-weekly thing and it's one email instead of many. I don't know if that helps, but you're more than welcome to send me items like who the runners are that take all the cookies. So one thing I wanted to start a conversation about or ask about is, we have new members for this term and really recent new members. I'd like to hear if anybody can provide examples, because we do not have one standard way of doing this. We talk about it a lot, but a lot of it is dependent on the people you represent and the units you're from. How do you get in front of constituents? How do you represent people? Do you have access to listservs? Do you go to employee meetings? What works for all of you as far as ideas that allow you to share information like following the presentation we had today? I think this would be beneficial for all of us, myself included here. I've had successes and failures in things I've tried. Brandon?
So I was actually, as I got out with my boss and kind of how can I get in front of the student campus like this, and so I was actually invited to meet me with Lombardi's student campus life, his divisional leadership meeting, and introduce myself there and kind of said to all of those folks in that room, like, I'm here. I don't know what you want me to do, so help me figure out what you want me to do. And I kind of, gave them that plea of like, I can just go in and do what I want, but I really want you to help me understand what's important to SDL. So they have since been invited to several key meetings, just saying, I've made myself open and available if you're hosting a large divisional meeting or team meeting to invite me out. So far, I've been able to visit the Business Service Center, and then next week I'm visiting the IT team from Student Campus Life. So that was helpful, and just simply having an email contact to all of those divisional leaders was really helpful to me. So that was a good avenue, and I've got some good ideas of it.
It's a great example. I think not being afraid to go to something and introducing yourself as the EA representative for X is a great idea. Any other things that are important for you?
I got access to this because I'm a college rep, so I got access to the AAP staff listserv, so I just keep everybody updated. If they have questions, I'm always at the bottom. I say if they want to talk confidentially or anything, I can bring up for them. Please come see me. And then I post everything in the break room.
Nice. Okay.
So I can speak about other things that the college is relatively new, and I'm not currently here. But one thing that the Vet Staff Council does is they have a monthly lunch hour in the cafe, and people know that they'll be there for open discussion. And there's also a lot of listservs and digital displays and regular content that are open to the whole college. So that's an option.
I can say that on the opposite side, I had a failure with utilizing Yammer. My predecessor had a Yammer group set up with Powell's representative, and I tried to keep it going, and people actually dropped off. So it's not everything always works out either. So, it didn't persuade me, but things are important to me, I think. Are there any topics, questions, or anything else that that anybody has on their mind? If not, we can. Oh, I'm sorry, Fred.
I was curious about what the free campus.
I will refer you to Dave.
Would you like to give an update?
It'll be out in the middle of October.
Awesome. And we'll have
them.
But we'll have an active role in trying to get that out, or get the, you know, especially with those staff members who don't have a computer or don't regularly use a computer workstation. I think that would be important. That's a bigger concern.
I'm sorry, I missed the original comment. What was that?
About the smoke-free campus?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't hear any of that.
Sorry. Anything else? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Second. All right. Thank you, everybody. Keep it up.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.